don't know if I really love this decision.
Over the middle, got his man, and look at him go! Jalen Waddle for the touchdown!
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience.
Tua Tagovailoa, blocked by Armstead. Going, he's got him! He's got him! Tyreek Hill! And the Dolphins have come back!
A big play on the first one! Home run! Play one! To the house! What a start for the Dolphins!
I want to see what happens with Tyreek, to see if we extend him and create some money to get it. Maybe then you could like temper higher expectations if you may.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the first topic I wanted to talk about. This whole, you know, we haven't gotten like the full story of what's going on, just like kind of like allegations and some chatter about him having some more off the field domestic issues. You know, I personally am not going to jump on the bandwagon. You know, I'm not going to go with the, how do I say this? The court or the judgment, like public opinion, and start crucifying a guy without having all the information. You know, it's unfortunate that somehow his name keeps coming up in the off season with these issues, but I'm not gonna judge the guy. I'm not gonna say, you know, that he's guilty of something that we just don't have enough proof or information on, you know, as far as the situation is concerned. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, for me personally, bro, like I don't know all the facts of the situation. I know there's three sides to every story. I know Tyreek hasn't been convicted of anything, although he has been mentioned in the news several times for things, and he may have settled some cases or some situations or whatever, however they got those taken care of. But all in all, like, it's a bunch of small stuff that I think it's a little bit more annoying than anything as far as like severity. I don't think it's gotten to the point where he's become like a huge distraction. But I think that he's put himself in a position that if something like that was to occur, he would have a lot less grace based on the track record overall, a lot of little stuff. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't lean in his favor, in my opinion, if something of a more something a little bit more serious, I think, would be treated probably with a little bit more severity based on his history. But I think at this point, we're still in a good spot with him overall. I don't think it's to a point where he's done too much or he's like been arrested and any of that crazy stuff. So I think that he's entering dangerous territory potentially if things were to escalate. But all in all, bro, like I think we just got to like just understand that the media uses these guys for clicks, and sometimes things are made out to be a little bit more serious than they are. I'm not saying that's the case, but like if the team has all the facts and there's something that needs to be done or addressed, I'm sure Roger Goodell or the Miami Dolphins would get involved if it was serious. No.
Yeah
I think it's a little bit, it's getting blown out of proportion for who he is as a polarizing figure. And to be completely honest, I take this little whatever situation is over having it here by these negative comments about everything that Tua does. So I kind of welcome these little distractions to leave Tua and let the other guys be guys. Sometimes people like the low-hanging fruits. So I feel like he's the most approachable and the most famous person in this team outside of Tua. And it just happens to be a thing. But just like Chad said, he has no leeway when anything happens. Like if anything were to happen, hopefully not, he has no grace anymore, because you've been in the news for too long. Now this is actually a severe situation. So he kind of outplayed himself out of any grace. That's where I'm at, right. But it's not a big deal to me.
No, I mean, you know, me neither. Go ahead, French.
What I would say to this situation, and you know, I know what it's like to be a polarizing figure at times.
And here we go.
Actions are blown out of proportion. What I will say to that is, when you are a polarizing figure, and at times your actions or your comments are blown out of proportion, you got to also understand in certain situations, or you got to have better judgment in situations not to put yourself in certain situations. So, I mean, you know, more than anything, you're wearing off that grace, because what do they say? Grace is the delay in what could have been. So, I mean, what I would say to this, you know, I pray as we go into, you know, training camp into the summer and conditioning and stuff like that, these are some of the last headlines that we see of him in this capacity. And I you know, just win, baby.
I hate that we have to even discuss these kind of things. And I'm pretty sure that, like, I'm not saying it's gotten there yet, but I'm pretty sure, based on, like, just the history of the league, that it could reach to a point where the Dolphins are kind of tired of hearing about it, too. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't want it to get there. And he just got to be smart in how he moves. Nothing, he hasn't done nothing that's unforgivable, nothing too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know sometimes it could be ugly just to have your name in the headlines for the wrong reasons, but all in all, he's been a good dude here. He's been a great player on and off the field overall. Like, there's been a little
bit. Been great in the community. So, I don't want to discredit and make one situation to be a whole situation. But, you know, you just got to, you know, like you say in football, you just got to move, stay ahead of the sticks. And, you know, everybody got a personal life, and things happen in everybody's individual personal life. And I'm pretty sure if we had our personal lives under scrutiny and media, you know, certain comments or things, you know, could be looking and blown out of proportion. So what I would say to that is, when you're a polarizing figure and you got the fame that a Tyreek Hill has, you know, heavy as the head that was the crown.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, I'll transition into the next topic here, but I want to take a moment to shout out to all the spectators we have going on. Rich Champ, Europe, Santos, Garcia, Goose, Streak, Newtley, of course, OG, Trav, Joey, West Coast, Gumby, Crazy, Eric. I mean, there's so many people watching right now. I can't keep
going. Not to everybody that's on the playback that tuned in and rocking with us, man. If you want to go ahead and get your questions into the show, feel free to hop on the playback app and send them through. We'll try to get to some of your questions, man, throughout the show. Appreciate all the support from y'all.
Yes, sir. So anyways, on the whole wide receiver aspect or you know, topic, what have you guys thought or looked up or see what the possibility or what the options are as far as adding a third receiver is to the team?
Well, Coach, I'm glad you asked, my good brother. Hey, man, as we hear for another episode of Playback, listen, I know the people are of the mindset that, you know, there are maybe some bigger needs on the offensive line or maybe the defensive line. But I think there's a huge case that can be made for solidifying Tua's pass-catching options. You're going to be allocating a significant amount of your cap to this player over the next few years. And I think it's important that if we're going to make that kind of commitment to Tua, I know a lot of people are against the commitment right now. And I'm not trying to make this about Tua, but I think it is about Tua in a sense, because you're going to be giving this guy $50 million plus, you know, AAV. And we'll know it on the books. It'll look a little different and, you know, it probably won't be that. But I say that to say, like, if you're going to pay this guy, then why not make sure he's successful? And why not ensure that you protect your investment by ensuring that it has the greatest chance of success, and you want to surround him with as much talent as possible. And if he's the guy, then he's the guy. And even if, let's just say in a crazy world that Tua is not the guy, at least you're in a position in which anybody can step in into that offense with a lot of weapons, a good running game, a solid offensive mind, and they'll be able to, you know, take on. So if, just for the greater good of the team, I think it's in our best interest to solidify those options. And we can do that in a variety of ways. For me, I know there's a lot of names like Michael Thomas out there. Some people have mentioned like DJ Charks. I know a good buddy, Mike Williams of the show, he mentioned Kenny Golladay. I know a lot of people wouldn't be happy about that one, but I think you're kind of in that neighborhood. I know Odell Beckham and stuff like, no, it's not. But there are some sexy trade targets that, you know, I would love to, you know, get into. But I'm going to pass it on to Wally and see where you at with it, Wally.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before you go to Wally, Quez Watkins is another name that I've heard mentioned.
Yes.
Listen, man, I am with everything Chad says. There's many ways to skin a cat. So you could find however you could do it. I just don't want to break the bank, you know. But I don't have these people's money. So if you want to go ahead and get a big name receiver, you have now with his comp picks, you know, Chris Greer has been known to win and deal. So I wouldn't put it past him. But if all of us have been talking about getting a specific type of target for two, a physical guy that can maybe run, we don't have that physical NFL anymore, but those guys that play in the middle of the field and stuff like that, even though we have Jonnu Smith to do certain things like that, but a guy like Mike Thomas is ideal. And if you want to find a guy that doesn't have any like the pedigree, you can go to DJ Sharks, the Golladays, the Browns, a couple of names. I'm not. You can keep Odell Beckham. People that keep mentioning Odell Beckham, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not.
We already had Duke Riley. Duke Riley was enough for social media, TikToks, and all of that. I want physical players. If you're gonna go ahead and take a chance in the guy with a name, I think Michael Thomas. Even though I dislike Michael Thomas because of the crap he said between him and Devontae Parker, but at the time he was talking that trash. But let me not. At the time he was saying that, he was the best damn wide receiver in the league consistently for like 2-3 years. Although nobody else out there with injury concerns can say the same. So to me, he's the perfect target. But if you want to get with it, the draft has a bunch of wide receivers. Those are just projects that you unknown commodities. That's where you got to, you know, I mean, you got to, that's where the GM and the people, they make their money at.
Yeah. Right. Hey, hold on first. Before I want to give a couple shout outs. Shout out to Ethan and Brandon and Sports All Day. Thanks for tuning in. Go ahead, French.
And just like that, Coach, just like that, Wally gave up his hand. Projects. Oh, here we go. I don't have time for projects, Wally. Is a known commodity. I go to my local Publix, Wally, and I shop for the known commodity. Chris Greer once said in an interview when asking the option of going to get a high first round pick at a given position, let's just say wide receiver, or taking a known commodity. I won't mention any names, maybe trading for a commodity. Gotcha. Maybe a guy. What was that guy in Dragon Ball Z trying to catch them all?
Wait. Dragon Ball Z!
Yo! It's all about.
We ain't doing that.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, what are you trying? I know there's two different Asian shows, French. What's going on here, bro?
No. So you're missing the vision.
He said, I'm trying to catch them all.
They fell for the illusion and missed the vision. You fell for the illusion and missed the vision.
Hey, Coach.
The point I'm making, Chad, is like you said, you got to have them all.
Oh, my God.
And at this point, going against Patrick Mahomes, going against Lamar on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 35 for the go-ahead win? Give me a known commodity.
What if Michael Daniels say you don't go out and try to draft a Tyreek Hill? You sign one. You bring one in. You trade for one, right?
But you know what?
I get the notion that we could go into the draft and be more team friendly with a rookie talent. I love the idea of a rookie talent, a high end rookie talent on a deal. But there's a good chance that going into this draft, so the Brian Thomas and some of the guys that we envisioned that could be there for us in round one may not be there due to their performances at the combine. These guys ran 4.3, 6.3, running 4.3, like teams like the Saints, and who just got off of Michael Thomas. You know what I mean? A LSU kid in the state, they could easily take a Brian Thomas at 14. Jacksonville Jaguars just lost a Calvin Ridley. They could easily take a Brian Thomas, you know what I mean, at 17. You know what I mean? Going into the draft and say, okay, yeah, we can get a guy. What if it doesn't necessarily up? And then from 20 to 55, there's a run on the position. Now you're set, look there like, oh, damn, I didn't get my guy. So, you can go in that route. And I'm not saying it's a bad route to go to. But if they want to go ahead and try to address the position now, if you're not comfortable with the high-end option, I am personally. I think there's a multitude of guys that you could get that could at least – somewhat solidify the position. That way, if you do need to go in a different direction and pivot, you can without no pressure. But
all I'm saying is, if you're going into the season with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, your third wide receiver option does not have to be a crazy name, and it affords you the time to, if you drive a guy like. I like get a Javon Baker, Pearsall. He could easily just go under the radar and learn, have a limited playbook and still be effective for you. While you still keep your picks and your money to go get other positions. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it the way you want to do it, a hot commodity, because, listen, if you have a DK Metcalf available or Justin Jefferson or whatever the player X may be, you do it. Because there's not an exact carbon copy that says, hey, this guy's going to be DK Metcalf. You know who is DK Metcalf? DK Metcalf. So I understand what you guys are saying. But me, I want to go get a rookie. Because if he strike lightning in a bottle with a rookie, that's 4 years of cheap labor.
No, and you're right. And I think it's a good path to venture down for sure. I ain't going to give you no pushback on that. But I think what me and French are alluding to is, like, just getting a guy who you know can get it done, opposed to trying to project based on the skill set that you've seen in their college environment and hoping that that'll translate to the NFL, opposed to having a guy who you already know has been successful in the NFL and you know can be that option if a Waddle or Tyreek is banged up. Not just a guy who can contribute on a limited basis, but maybe someone who can take that offense to a new level, a new height.
Tua Messi, let me ask you.
Who's that Pokemon?
I like where we're going on the show today. Tua Messi, coach, can you cue me up like some quiz music or something? Something
quiz music.
Something. Give me an intro to this. Tua Messi. Let's be a little crazy right now, Tua Messi. Let's say Chris Greer.
Coach, are we the voice of reason here, by the way? Are we the senior guys here?
I think so.
You know what? They called me fluff before, so let me give you a little fluff.
They don't want to let French cook, man. Why don't want to let you cook, man?
Let me give you a little fluff. Because maybe you're tired of eating the rice and beans. Let me give you a little fluff.
Rice and beans.
Let's just say you do make an acquisition for.
Let's say Courtland Sutton or something like that.
What kind of blocking does that afford you with a player of that stature? I look more specific.
It's funny. Hold time out. It's funny because you're becoming a different person. You are a man of many faces. You're a man of many. Don't you go away from the camera.
Hey, yo.
Don't you run away from the camera, sir. You're running away from the pressure. Homie said DK Metcalf, and now he pivot all the way back down to Cortland Sutton with an $11 million difference. You see what I'm saying? If you're talking about Cortland Sutton, you're talking about Mike Thomas in the same realm. You see what I'm saying? That's my only problem, Chad. That's how I feel he's being in
the oh, offense. Sir.
Not really, sir.
Did he just change?
Sir, yeah, all I'm trying, listen, sir, you listen, you might say I'm changing. I might just say you don't understand me. I'm looking for
listen,
a specific,
as a man that wears many hats, I could be a guru and I could be a chief. You're not gonna play me with a lot. You're not gonna lie to me, man. You didn't come out here lying to me. I'm a guru, not the guru. You went from 24 to 12. What are we talking about? You gonna switch up the outfit? Let me hold up.
All I'm alluding to, Mr. Wally, is when you go after a guy like a Derrick Henry or a DK Metcalf, you're looking for a specific productivity. And when I mention DK Metcalf or making a bold move like that, let me address that. You can make a
Brandon Ayuk or something. You know what? Yeah, you know.
Oh my God! Here we go.
Adebo Samuel. Not to say those kind of, but the bring a guy who can bring that physicality, that extra brings a different element to the offense and can do it at a high level. Okay, I have confidence in my front office. I don't know about you guys. I have confidence in Brandon Shore in my front office to work the contract numbers out. People worried about the numbers and all that, I'm not worried about that. If they pull the trigger, I'm a high-priced guy. I think we can make it work.
Let me ask you a question, Chad. If you when you mentioned physicality and all that, right?
Yeah.
Where's this young brother, young fella, young stud from a university over there in Western Kentucky that you have mentioned?
But he would have to be there and available when it's my time to pick.
Bingo.
That's the conundrum, and that's where you go from a sure thing to a crapshoot, and you're absolutely right. That's why I don't mind the Mike Thomases and the Cortland Sutton. And you know why I don't mind that? Because even if you trade for a Cortland Sutton, it still won't keep me from drafting this kid. You get what I'm saying? Because Mike Thomas, he's selling for 2 years. A Cortland Sutton selling for 2 years.
Michael Thomas, maybe? I don't know if you can do it with Cortland. I don't know.
He's on the contract for 2 more years.
Yeah, but
it's a little
egregious to do to get a receiver in the second round after trading for a receiver.
I'm saying that Cortland Sutton or Mike Thomas, those type of moves, Shark, those type of moves, which you're not paying 16 or 20, which is not a premium. Cortland Sutton actually has a decent deal and also gives you the flexibility to maybe draft another guy that you don't have. Now you maybe draft a Javon Baker. May need more time than McCormick, and you find him in the fifth round. You get what I'm saying? I like flexibility. That's where I'm at.
With that same argument, that same 15 that he's talking about, DK's getting 24. You can give him 15 in the signing bonus.
Listen.
All I'm just saying, and when I mention specific players, I'm not necessarily saying it has to be that player or a bust. But when I talk about that player, nothing's out of our range. We can make any moves we need to make if it's for the betterment of the team. Because if we make a move and you mortgage a draft pick and you get a sure thing, you can go into this draft making necessary moves at certain positions that might be a luxury that falls to you.
Now, hold on a second.
I'm not saying they're going to go after a big ticket guy like that either. You know what I mean? But, you know.
Listen, on that point, pivoting into the next topic, obviously, if we're going to acquire anything like that or any thoughts of acquiring that, we need to have some space. And today, we found out early this morning that Bradley Chubb did a little restructure of his contract. Freed up, I think it was, what was it, 11 mil?
11 million.
So, you know, at first, when the news broke, everybody was kind of running around, you know, kind of excited. Oh, there's a big move coming, whatever. And after listening to some people and having some conversations, you know, I think it's just prudent for them to wait and see when the dust settles with all the signings of all the free agents and all the moves before we see what's next. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, guys, since we're here.
A different hat.
Yeah. Hey, as a man of many hats that I wear. I think we had to temper our expectations. Some people were blindly saying, oh, it's going to be a big move. But those people that were questioning how the Dolphins have money to sign a player like Fuller or Jordan Brooks and the Poirier, Barrett. You know why? Because you restructured Bradley Chubb. Now we have to move forward, and because we didn't give him a full structure. It was a soft structure, or whatever you may call it, a mid. It wasn't full. And then also, if we do the extension or resign Tyreek, that's when you create the big money. When you extend Tua, you sign Tua to, yes, you extend money. Bradley Chubb was like a necessary move. It was necessary evil, and you still can move off of Bradley Chubb. And as a post-June cut, I like Xavier Howard, which I heard all today, and it'll be a $9 million cap hit, and you save $22 million.
And you still have some guys on the roster who you could possibly maybe tap into some extra flexibility, too. We've talked about Wally's brought up Liam Eichenberg as a guy. With our current offensive line as structured, if they were to draft a tackle guard in the draft, I think, or a center guard, I think it would make – you know, Liam a little bit more expendable in that case. And then maybe you can put him with a pick and get something for him. You know what I mean? A pick swap or whatever, however you look at it. I don't know who else on the roster maybe fits that mold as well, but you do have some additional draft capital from next season that'll come into the fold that you possibly could use to, you know, do some things with and maybe address that position to get creative with Mike White, you know what I'm saying? Maybe replace a guy like that with a later round draft pick or something and have him be the
Skyler.
Jason Sanders.
Wait, Skyler Thompson, that's a good point. I mean, if you think I think it's time for him to step up and finally be the backup.
If Mike White is still our backup quarterback, it's going to be a convention on the staff. They failed to Skyler Thompson because in 3 years, he couldn't become a backup quarterback.
I mean, seventh round picks don't necessarily all pan out. So,
don't. And that's fine. But that's fine. That's why it's cheap labor. You're able to go get a draft another one.
Swap them out.
But it kind of sucks because it means you kind of have to get stuck with Mike White again in that 3.7 salary. That's why I would love, even with all the animosity towards Skyler Thompson, I would love for him to become our backup quarterback for money reasons, and just to justify the pick. You could have had Brock Purdy.
Yes, and with that, you still have a Xavier Howard's $18 million coming in after June 1st to you know add to all that. So
Brock Purdy drafted, French?
The last pick in the draft.
Thank you.
Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant, correct.
That point proven.
He's better than Scott Thompson. You muted yourself. What are you doing? You're calling your Raider hat?
Yes, asking for permission. Go ahead.
I asking permission to see the tape.
Go ahead.
Can you reset the room, Coach, based on the question so I can give my interlude? Because I don't want to talk on what he was. Can you reset it? Wow. Just give me a...
Wow. This guy is so self-centered.
He just reset the...
Who is
the room is reset.
Konnichiwa, okay. Sex daisuki desu, Gianni.
Bro, you're not that guy, bro.
What I want to say, and what I want to allude to what Chat was saying.
Trust me, you're not that guy.
Let me allude to what Chat was saying. When they talk about guys like that, and we talk about the restructure of Bradley Chubb, you don't restructure unless you got a plan. And if you got a plan to restructure, there's always a bigger plan. Because one thing about this administration, they think big. And with Brandon Shore at the helms, Chris Greer, Marvin Allen, and at the meet, this administration has a plan. And maybe we see one more restructure. But if we see one more restructure, you know what that means, Coach. We got the money, baby. We're going after a whale. It's going to happen because nothing is off the table. This season, it is playoff. Yo, this is it. You got to win a playoff game this season. Try to credit. No excuses. Make the move.
And I don't know if one's enough
to make. Because you know what, Chad? When you go to the AFC conference game and you talk about winning that first playoff game and you got to do something you've never done in the last 20 years, you're going to wish you spent the money.
All right. So on that point, we gotta keep it. We got to get everybody updated on the free agency status. I know we signed a couple of offensive linemen. I know Driscoll's one of them. What was the other one, Chad? We brought back Isaiah Wynn.
Isaiah Wynn and Jack Driscoll. Yes, that's right.
Jack Driscoll. That's right. So, I know we kind of touched on it already, but is there a specific direction that you would like? Because obviously we don't know what they're going to do. Is there a specific direction you guys would like the team to go to? Or what positions they would, to, I guess, add to what we already have?
We talked extensively about the third wide receiver position, so we don't have to address that.
Correct.
I think the next big glaring holes would be at defensive tackle and offensive guard due to the departures of those guys. I mean, they've done a little bit to address the position, but I think especially the offensive line could be solidified even further. I'm sure a lot of people are in favor of that. So,
and that's where I want to just kind of hone in. The most important position for this team is guard, center, guard. Twofold. When this is an elite top five rushing team and we're putting touchdowns on the board with a rushing attack, we are a different team. When Tua has that guard, center guard, and that pocket is clear for him, he is the most elite quarterback in the NFL, better than Patrick Mahomes. And I had a colleague kicked off Twitter because he said it. If you give Tua the same thing that you give a lot of these other elite quarterbacks with great offensive lines, give him that guard, center guard combo that we had. The similar protection with Connor Williams and those guys at the beginning of the season when Tua was shredding up the NFL. It wasn't a coincidence that guard, center guard, when Connor was in there, had them boys tight. So we could still add defensive tackle in the draft, but just specifically that combo, yeah.
Wally, you good?
He's just casting another wide net again. Like, he does it every show. It's like, yeah. I feel like we can change this man's name to Oprah or something, man. Like, come on, bro.
Oprah.
Like, come on, bro. Make a decision, my boy. Make a choice.
Hey.
I mean, it's guard. And if you want me to give you a name, it's BB. We talked about it and I looked at him. I want him. I want a mauler.
Oh, and you just heard about BB now. You still working on your list?
No. I knew the name. I'll switch it twofold. The tackle position is the most important because when Tyron steps away, I'd love to have a guard that we can switch out like we did with Tonsu, but to have a legit mauler that we can keep there, somebody that we could just keep there, and he just mauls for seven, like, that to me is, in my mind, just as important as that tackle.
I feel like you've seen in my text, you mentioned B.B. Barton.
Now we're not specific.
There's only one guru here, but B.B., Barton, Barton is to me is the most ready right now player. And then for bargaining in the middle rounds, you could I would love to see if we could get a guy like Rosengarten over here. Those type of picks. I think right now it's kind of too early to call moves, but I want to go the best player available to kind of draft whatever is let the board be played out. But we could draft anything. I wouldn't put past any position. I want to be as free as we can be. I know right now as we stand, DB is like the most far DB linebackers and running back is the most far fetched position.
Safety. I think safety is still on the board.
Yeah,
safety's still on the board. But I meant like DB, the actual cornerback.
Corners. Yeah, like, maybe not so much corners, but yeah, DB.
So
Hold on, Wally. Before we keep moving, I want to take a moment here. I want to make sure I shout out the watchers, y'all, the spectators. We got Jen West Coast. I know Kelvin was in here a little while ago. Mike, Eric, giving some good information here in the chat. If you guys got any questions or anything, make sure you put it in that chat over there. We'll do our best to answer them. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, man. I'm just saying, man. There's a lot of talent out there. I would love to get my hands and paws in one of those tackles from Washington. Because they could both play multiple positions. If we get one of those guys in this team, I think both will be starters. One of them is a top tier talent, which happens to be Troy Fatonao, whatever his last name is. But I feel comfortable. Yeah. I feel comfortable with either of those guys from that position being drafted early and stuff like that.
The one thing I'll say is something to having a guy not move his position. So when I mentioned a BB and getting like that and being able to select him at whatever round, you know, yeah, we can get the tackle moving the guard and it, you know, gives us a band-aid right now. Then you kick him out, but then you find another. But being able to get a guy who you know is going to be there, like we had with Hunt was there. And, you know, Hunt's no more. You get you a BB or a mauler like that who you know is going to be there that you don't have to worry about kicking out to tackle because, you know, tackle's like one of those positions like quarterback where you're going to draft one every year if you have an opportunity to. Or if you can go up and go get a guy or you can get a guy in free agency or you can get a guy that you know what I mean, a Kendall Lamb as guy. You know, you're going to always kick the can on that position. To get a guy that you know is going to be there, specifically that guard center guard combo, tackles are interchangeable. Or, you know, ideally you want you to have a tackle – like a Jake Long for, you know, 10 plus years. But I just say that to say they're such a high caliber athlete that if you were to get one in a draft the following year, I don't feel like you would honestly, you know, fall off, you know, that bad if you're talking about one of the elite guys that typically come out top three, four guys.
Hey, so we got a question from spectators real quick. It's Kelvin is asking a question. It says, which safety fits the Dolphins better, Newbin or Kitchens? I think I know the answer, but I'll let you guys answer.
I'm gonna go Newbin because I feel like, and I like Cameron Kitchens. I'm a huge fan, but he's more of a strong safety. I feel like with Javon Holland and Poyer, you probably need more of a true strong safety type, and I think with his elite ball production, I think that he's a good fit for what we need on defense. And I think with him, Poyer, and Javon Holland, you'd have elite secondary. And I feel the same way about Cam Kitchens. If I had to pick one or the other, I'd probably go Newbin.
I disagree. I think
not surprised.
Cam Kitchens does whatever he's asked to. Like he came in as the third safety in that class. It was James Williams, Avante Williams. Actually, he might have been a fourth safety. And these guys were all five stars. He was a three star or four star safety. They put him. They
a Tate transfer. He had legal issues, so he was made to play around everywhere else. And James couldn't play free safety, so he had to play free safety. But the kid's a tackler. He can cover the tight end. He's a thumper when he needs to be. I get what you're saying about the strong safety, but I think if you're a safety that could cover more and still hit, you could definitely play the strong safety. He has all the characteristics to be a strong safety as well. He's fast. He's a ball hawk. One guy has played strong safety because they never asked him to do anything else. But Cam has played both positions in college.
Tyler Newbin can play both, and he has better ball production than Cam Kitchens.
He fumble wise.
I'm talking about interceptions. Interceptions. Check the numbers.
One guy's a cover guy though. One guy's just
picking. Tyler Newbin can cover. He had the most interceptions out of all the safeties.
He's a strong safety getting help. Cam Kitchens is by himself out there. He's the one providing the help.
No, I disagree.
I like Cam Kitchens though. I like Cam Kitchens.
Right, so we got 1-1 French. What's your
opinion? I ideally would go to the guy with. I mean, I love me some Cam Kitchens, but like you said, if you're talking about a Newbin who can play the ball, I'm looking for a safety who can play the ball a little bit more, as somebody who could be more of that eraser, because we already got that kind of Holland-esque, Poyer-esque, Cam Kitchens-esque kind of player within those two players. So, I mean, give me a guy who can, and I'm not saying Cam Kitchens can't play safety to where he can locate the ball, but when you talk about true safety, locate the ball, the eraser back there, that guy has to be the...
What school he went to?
Which one? Cam Kitchens went to the U.
And the other kid?
Did Dan Newman go to Texas, I think? Wait, hold on, let me look it up.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
But what does that have to do with anything?
Because y'all just be talking about these guys. Y'all just met these guys in the combine.
No, I knew about Tyler Newbin throughout the entire season, bro. Don't do that. Bro, you're a homer, so you're always gonna ride with the homer pick over anything else. You're your bias.
When the season started, it was Newbin, it was the USC kid, and it was Cam Kitchens. And
correct.
Also, you had the safeties from Washington that they got injury depleted, which it's funny that nobody's talking about that. Those guys are gonna go undrafted, and you can mind lighting in the bottle, but they were riddled with injuries. It's the two safeties from Washington, the free and the strong. My point is, Newbin was a top rated safety in front of Cam Kitchens. He's always been ranked and rated in front of Cam Kitchens. He didn't have such a good season, and it's crazy that he's going ahead. After Cam Kitchens, because Cam Kitchens had the best season. But he is the better player. He's always been the better player. Cam Kitchens, he's had the better past two seasons.
But then how are you going to negate my point? Because I've watched Cam Kitchens play here in Miami, and I've seen what he did at the safety position. And when you talk about a true safety who can locate the ball, I wouldn't care if he played at Berkeley. If he's a true safety and he can locate the ball and he led the league in interceptions, give me that guy.
Yeah, but you know the talent that you're playing against. That counts for something too, and I'm not saying that Newbin didn't, but it's not, you know.
Yeah, but coach, when you're ranked, it's gonna be the same thing like the Colorado class next season. When the Colorado class next season comes out and these guys are drafted first round, what are you gonna say? Oh, the competition. If you're an athlete and you're ranked in the top 1, 2, 3, 4. Of your peers, I wouldn't care if you played in Appalachian State. If you're
wrong, I'm just saying one guy was first team All American. You know, I'm just saying. You know,
one was preseason All American. Another one missed two games, a couple games.
Preseason and postseason are two different things.
Wally, you did this to me.
But listen, we can all agree Wally's a homer. We're gonna look.
He's a homer, bro.
Yes, that is for sure.
And I know it. I know. I'm cool with it. Look, Cam Kitchens is the best safety in the draft. I'll finish it. But
you're not biased at all.
No. It's not even biased. He's the best safety in the draft in this class. I don't care what anybody says. He's the best safety. And James Williams is gonna be a steal in the fifth or sixth round.
I plead the fifth.
No. Cam has elite ball production. I like Cam Smith. I like Cam Kitchens. He's dope, bro. I'm not trying to shit on Cam Kitchens.
He's great in coverage. He's great in coverage. He's great playing in a box. He's great playing downhill. So if you were looking for those characteristics specifically, but I feel like we get that in Holland. And we kind of, I feel like.
Why not have two Hollands?
You could. I'm not pushing back.
I don't know. You make it sound like it's bad to have two.
No. But
I'm not gonna. I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it.
Hold on, because let's be real. If we're talking about adding a Justin Simmons, which is a free safety, what are we talking about?
True.
That's what y'all was saying. I didn't say that. Nobody, what's wrong, Steve? You talking about adding? Nobody talking about. That's the hypocrisy here. That's why I asked for Fuller last week on this show, and y'all kicked me out of space. No, we're not understanding. We signed him the next week. How are we going to pay Devin Simmons, coach? Play the tape. Hear me out, coach. You're the moderator here. You have nothing on stage here, right?
Denied.
If we say Justin Simmons, which is a free safety, could play with Javon Holland and make this defense great, why can't Cam Kitchens, a younger with guy with potential to be, I'm not saying he's as good as Justin Simmons, but he can be. We don't know that. He has a really, very, very high ceiling. Why can't he play with Holland? What is it wrong to have two Hollands on this defense? When Holland got here, he was a free safety, strong safety, slot corner. So why not? How is that a bad thing?
I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it all depends on what your defense asks you to do. Because maybe you don't want to have a duplicative, you know, skill set. So I'm trying to be fair. I mean, because he's a talent. I'm not saying he's a talent, but, you know.
It gives you more range, which is what we're saying.
It doesn't. With Justin, adding a player like Justin Simmons or Cam Kitchens, of two safeties that could play strong and free safety, give you super, super range because you don't lose nothing on the coverage aspect or the run support aspect. The reason why you play strong safety is because you're kind of a liability on the coverage aspect. And if you put a guy like Cam Kitchens that is interchangeable, he can hit and cover. You're kind of doing better than just having a guy that could cover. Tackle and run support. That's why we wanted to move away from Brandon Jones. That's why people wanted to Sean Elliott because he was versatile. So what are we talking about? I don't know, B. I don't know. I might be biased, but if you
just
want
a little Justin, bit.
If you want Justin Simmons, if you want, Chad, you're muted.
Right now, I'm good. I'm good either way. To be 100% honest, like Cam Kitchens, Newbin, I'm good either way. And I think another guy we haven't mentioned, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, cornerback safety, could also be in that conversation for top safety as well. So, just saying.
There's a lot of guys. The Oladapo kid too. He's another promising guy.
Yeah,
I mean, I see the vision with a Cam Kitchen, and then you leave Javon Hollins because
make them interchangeable.
I ideally think, me personally, Javon Holland is at his best when he's playing deep. When he's deep back there, he is the eraser. You're not getting it past him. And if you get a Cam Kitchen and play him more closer in the box in the coverage, and you have Holland as that eraser, like. I mean, now I'm walking with you.
I think you guys have to watch Ed Reed's tape and watch out when he was free to move around. He had his best season, and that's what I want Javon Holland to do. You got to have an interchangeable safety to do that. That's why you add a guy like Cam Kitchens or Jordan Simmons. He's moving. That's what you want. That's what you want to get a guy to follow for. We can make Jalen Ramsey do the same thing. You want versatility, but you can be versatile.
Somebody's got mad feedback. Anyway, so let's get to the real question of, and probably the final question of our show today. Are we going to add another fullback to this roster, Trench?
I'm glad we got to this point of the show.
It's the mentality, though. The mentality.
Listen, I am glad. The mentality starts with the intent. And when you have a fullback, the intent, the mindset to be aggressive, to hurt somebody is there. We will embody the trench play this season. Just know, you heard it here first. Trench warfare all season.
Wow. And that segment brought to you by friends over here. Friends, the fullback connoisseur, man. Shout out to you.
Brought to you by Five Reasons Sports, Playback Absolutely. TV.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that, French. It's very informative. I'm not sure how Alec Ingle's going to feel about that fullback conversation.
Alec Ingle is the mindset.
Hey, and for future reference, French, for future reference, there's a difference between Pokemon and Dragon Ball Z.
That's two different things. You don't catch Dragon Ball. You don't.
Sir?
Recipes.
There was 175 episodes of this man chasing Dragon Balls. He was trying to catch them all.
Hey, catch you guys later this week, man.
Yeah, we out, man. Shout out to the people, man.
Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in, man. Thanks a lot.
Coach, give me some theme music, man. Send me home, man.
All right, let's go.
Follow us on whatever you listen to, man. I'm talking about
touchdown of the season. Hey,
just find the platforms. Follow us. Don't listen to French. He's out here stealing takes. Look at my dog, Chad Bassey. I ain't going
Brother.